gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
Headlines worth talking about.
Oh, how y'all doing? Let's see. What's in the news today?
Headlines brought to you by the good folks over at Kriegel Mesh Diamonds. You can check them out at KriegelMeshDiamonds.com. And guys, if you're thinking about popping the question, get twice the size ring for half the price of all of those other big box stores. And every ring is custom made. Go in with an idea, go in with a budget, come out with the ring of your dreams and especially her dreams, only at Kriegel Mesh.
Or maybe just go treat yourself, you know?
Yeah, if you want to buy yourself something good, yeah, I got my wedding ring there. I got a new wedding ring at Kriegel Mesh.
Get yourself a nice pinky ring.
You can do whatever you want, man. They'll take care of you.
Nice herringbone.
They'll hook you up if you want, you know, a replica Chiefs Super Bowl ring. They'll do that for you as well.
Can I get a one of those No Limit soldiers? Big medallions.
You can get whatever you want, my man, whatever you want. I was reading the book on the USFL by Jeff Perlman, and they were talking about the Baltimore Stars or somebody like that winning the USFL, and they all got rings, and they were all fake diamonds.
I think 6ix9ine should do that. Like, we should be like, you know, great rap labels of the 90s, and I'll have, like, giant 6ix9ine
medallions. I'm in. Think Speck will pay for that?
I mean, I don't see why not.
Yeah.
We should make the other guys pay for it.
That's true, yeah.
Chiefs and Chargers set to go tonight. Sammy Watkins, he's not set to go. He's out. Spencer Ware, Cam Irving, both listed as doubtful. I don't think either of those guys are going to be playing. Eric Berry and Tyreek Hill, though, both listed as questionable, but multiple reports are that they're both expected to play tonight. So, Eric Berry, let's go. Arrowhead Pride Tailgate presented by Albright Buick GMC Cadillac gets you going at 6 o'clock. Don't forget the best post-game coverage in all of the city. The Arrowhead Pride 7th Street Casino post-game gets you going or gets going once the clock hits double zero. Triple zeros? How many zeros?
Four zeros. Quadruple zeros.
Quad zeros.
Yeah. Yep.
They get you going at 6, but it's basically all Chiefs all day
all
today.
Day, yeah.
It's like a full-scale best. Best, most entertaining Chiefs coverage you're going to get right here on 610 Sports.
And it's the only authorized coverage of the Chiefs as well. So what's interesting about tonight is Eric Berry.
Yeah.
It's good. Just go with it, Josh.
Okay. You're on a roll.
Eric Berry playing tonight to me is awesome tonight. I am so excited to see him run out of the tunnel tonight, you know?
Yes.
And when they say number 29, Eric Berry, the place is going to lose its mind.
The Chiefs did a great job.
Oh, it's so cool.
With the hype video.
Loose pants night it is for everybody.
Perfect. You had Eric Berry at the beginning of the video, Eric Berry at the end of the video, and you're like, okay, you just told us. He's playing tonight.
He's playing tonight.
Awesome.
It's fantastic.
Attack everything.
And if he doesn't play, but he just comes out for the introductions.
I'm good with that.
Yeah, I mean, that's
I'm
all I need. I need these things that are going to continue to weaken the mentally weak Los Angeles Chargers. I think they're mentally weak. I don't think there's anybody more mentally weak than the Chargers when they come to Arrowhead Stadium. And when you see Eric Berry run through that tunnel and the crowd react the way that
Raiders
they do.
Coming in here week 17.
Yeah, but they haven't lost 9 straight to the Chiefs, man. The Chargers know their beat when they get on that plane. When they got on that plane at LAX, looked to their right, saw the Hollywood sign before they took off to Kansas City, they knew that they were beat. They flew on that plane yesterday knowing that they were beat. When Eric Berry takes the field, they will definitely know their beat, and there's a good chance they forfeit tonight's game.
When they saw 3 terminals, one that looked abandoned as they were flying in,
They
knew they were beat.
They knew they were beat. They knew that they were beat, no question about it. When they drove 25 miles from the airport and saw nothing except the skyline off in the distance, they knew they were beat. And when the bus went by Arrowhead Stadium, the bus driver said, "This is where you're going to lose tomorrow night." They've already known. They know their beat. They know their beat.
Get some of those 2-for-20 specials.
There's no reason for them to even show up.
I trusted you.
They got no chance tonight. And then when Eric Berry comes out on the field, Seattle has no chance next week.
I'll get back to some football here in a little bit because I'm a little nervous about the Chiefs might possibly be going to London. But the Royals announced the initial list of players who will be at FanFest. Whit Merrifield, Salvador Perez, Hunter Dozier, Ryan O'Hearn, Daniel Duffy, some guy named Owings. I've never heard of that.
That's the new guy they picked up 2 weeks ago.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
The utility guy.
Yes.
So a whole bunch of others will be there as well. And Ian Kennedy. I know you're going to show up for Ian.
Right.
Glenn Sparkman's going to be there.
Nice.
Brian Goodwin's going to be there. Cam Gallagher, Heath Philmeyer. It's a veritable who's who of Royals players.
Ned will be there as well.
Ned Yost.
Yep. Looking forward to seeing Ned. A lot better Fan Fest this year than it was a year ago for him at this time. So it'll be good to People have told me recently, they said, you don't realize how much pain Ned was in last year at Fan Fest. Like, barely could move type of stuff. But he wanted to be here for the fans so bad. Like they had to basically drive that guy around in a golf cart. Like, he was in some serious, serious pain. And you wouldn't know it by talking to him, like, that he was that banged up from that injury. Like, he really toughed that thing out, man. So he'll be better this year.
Well, that's about that, man.
Full coverage, of course, and we hope to see you there at FanFest coming up on January 25th and 26th. But you can hear all about it right here on 610 Sports Radio. We'll be there.
A little more about Ned Yost. NBC Sports put out their list of the most handsome managers in all of baseball. I don't think number one was an easy choice. Yeah. Angel skipper Brad Ausmus taking the top spot. Also, I feel slightly bad for Charlie Montoyo, who is the new Jays manager.
Now I know who the Jays manager is.
Yeah, he's bringing up the rear.
And deservedly so.
He's not really an attractive man. Ned Yost, though, number 23 on that list.
How do you go from 1 to 23 in like 3 years?
I mean,
there are a lot of good-looking managers.
They've hired a lot of younger guys, Bob.
Yeah. Those losses will get you.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, but Ned is still a very handsome man.
I mean, that's fine, but in the grand scheme of things, in the big picture, he's number 23, and I don't think that's an unfair ranking.
The other interesting nugget about the ranking of handsome managers is, do you know the Orioles don't have a manager?
I did, and he actually ranked 15th on the list. Whoever the new Orioles manager will be number 15 on that list.
Did you know that they didn't have a manager?
I did, because there were rumors they were hiring some guy from the Cubs staff.
I have not even seen anything about it.
But then it was debunked or delayed or something.
Of course, so yes, I'm not seeking out who the Orioles manager is, but yet no manager for Baltimore.
No manager.
No manager. Here it is, the winter meetings. Who's managing your team this year? I don't know.
We'll get to that later.
It doesn't really matter, does it?
No. A couple months, still spring
probably
training.
Probably doesn't matter at all. A little bit more baseball news for you, this coming from the winter meetings. Scott Boras, in response to comments earlier in the day about the Yankees' connection to possibly bringing in Bryce Harper, Brian Cashman said, quote, all I can keep telling you is, you know where my current focuses are, but at the same time, we are a fully operational Death Star. I mean, I get what Cashman's trying to say, and the Evil Empire plays well into that. But,
yes.
I mean, they blew up the Death Star.
One of the lines was both a fully operational Death Star. So yeah,
they blew up the fully operational and the non-operational. Like, yeah, oh, it wasn't complete.
He said the fully operational one, not the one that got blown up.
They both got blown up. The fully operational one got blown up in the first one.
It's fully operational though.
It doesn't matter. It still got blown up.
Take a step back, Star Wars nerd.
The end game was not good. However you want to spin it,
I don't appreciate this. The Ravens announced that Lamar Jackson will be their starter going forward. That was probably the right call because Joe Flacco is terrible. Yeah. But either way, Lamar Jackson yesterday addressing the media. Hey, Lamar, pretty nice to have the team now, huh?
It's our team. All of us together. It's our team. I don't go out there and block. You know, I don't go out there and catch the ball. I don't make tackles. You know, I just do my part. It's all our team.
Hmm. Consummate team player, Lamar Jackson.
The president of the Ravens sent a video for the Priest Holmes roast last night, and he said in the roast, he goes, you may have beaten us a couple of days ago, but we're looking forward to seeing you guys in the playoffs. And I was like, ooh, already talking smack. Already talking smack, are you? Like, the Ravens are like, we'll come back to Arrowhead and beat you.
Oh, yeah?
Like, they got confidence. As much confidence as Phyllis Rivers doesn't have of beating the Chiefs, the Ravens got a lot of confidence. Chiefs, I don't want to see the Ravens.
Much like the Chiefs' loss at Foxborough?
Yeah, one of those type of deals. Yeah, I don't want to see the Ravens in the playoffs. I don't.
They came to Arrowhead, and we just beat that ass down.
My favorite thing Bill Moss has ever said on the station.
There's nothing like a good ass whooping, man. Like, if tonight's a 42-0 game, oh, God, that would be so good.
An old-fashioned, passionate ass whooping?
Yeah.
What it is. Eagles quarterback Carson Wentz. Doubtful for this weekend against the Rams. That sucks because I was really hoping the Eagles would beat the Rams this weekend.
My back.
Yeah, he needs a bacheotomy, depending on the severity of the injury.
Spinal.
He could have to sit out for the rest of the year. So Eagles quarterback Carson Wentz may or may not be done for the season.
Yep. Super Bowl hangover in full effect now in Philadelphia.
Let's not get out of control. Finally for you, the NFL announcing yesterday there will be 5 international games in 2019, 4 of them taking place across the big pond, 1 of them taking place in Mexico City, probably just going to get moved right back home anyway.
That's right.
The home teams for those, the Jaguars, the Bucks, the Raiders, the Chargers, and the Rams.
Right, 4 teams that don't have or 3 teams that really don't have a home and 2 teams that don't draw.
2 of those teams, the Raiders and Chargers, obviously the Chiefs have an away game against those two. And if the season were to end right now, the Chiefs would also draw the Jaguars based on the NFL's scheduling process.
Scheduling.
So you could conceivably have away games next season with 3 of the 5 teams mentioned in the international game. So I'm not making I'm speculating is what I'm doing right now. Wild speculation feels like the Chiefs might be playing overseas.
Well, especially if they win the Super Bowl. Especially if they win the Super Bowl, they'll be playing overseas. They'll want to showcase the Kansas City Chiefs. But those 5 teams
they
that you
get
mentioned.
Some English sales of Mahomes jerseys.
I don't have an issue with the Chiefs being a road team in an international series
It'll
at
be
all.
Good for our brand.
This doesn't bother me to be the road team. The home team, that's a different story. But the 5 teams that they picked to be the home team overseas and in Mexico are 5 teams that have issues. The Rams can't sell tickets right now. The Chargers don't have a home field. The Raiders
don't have a stadium.
Don't have a state. They don't even know where they're playing next year. The Bucks were giving out free tickets to every season ticket holder.
Yeah.
And Jacksonville's tarped off half the stadium. Well, so
Jacksonville, that's their home away from home.
Yeah, so that
they're in.
It makes a lot of sense.
Didn't Khan just give away a home game every year or something like that?
Yeah, because he makes more money on the London game than he does having that game in Jacksonville. I can't blame him for doing that. The fans show out and, you know, go to the games. He wouldn't have to do that.
I'm sure Jacksonville Jaguar fans are just livid over it.
Well, they're waking up this morning going, who do I root for again? But what about a fraud they were, huh? Boy. You always hear about, can you handle success? Not Jacksonville.
I told you, Jalen Ramsey has single-handedly gave birth to the GQ jinx now. Like, anytime anybody does an interview preseason with GQ.
Long form off-season interview, don't do it.
Yeah. Don't go call everybody trash either.
No,
that's probably not a good move.
No. And lift a weight in the off-season. Headlines brought to you by Kriegel Mesh. Check them out at KriegelMeshDiamonds.com.
We've been blinded by the QB here in Kansas City, but another signal caller having a really good season rips into town tonight. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
Back in Fesco in the morning on a Thursday, along with Bob Fesco, Ryan Witkowski, I'm Josh Klingler, getting set for Chiefs and Chargers tonight. We're approaching the 12-hour mark.
We are. We're there 3 minutes away, 2.5 minutes
there
away from the 12-hour mark.
Can't wait for this.
NFL Network already broadcasting live from the bowels of Arrowhead.
They're out there on the
field
right now.
They almost turned the lights on for them, but not quite.
They were setting up last night when I was out there for the Priest Holmes roast last night, and I was telling you guys at the start of the show, I was in that stadium by myself at one point, and you could just feel like, I don't know. It sounds geeky. You know, it does, but like,
but
you
the
just
rumble
feel,
is coming.
Yeah, it's
right?
coming. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
No, geek out. Let's...
You want me to, like, I got that feeling like a kid. I'm like, this is pretty cool. In 24 hours, this place is going to be lit. Like,
vastly
you know,
different setting in 24 hours
but
of noise. And
I just love a calm stadium. Like, when we do the show out at Kauffman Stadium on opening day, and it's 5 o'clock in the morning and nobody's out there, and it's just a calm and serene feeling, you know what it's going to be like later that day or the next day when you're just in that calm stadium. It's like legitimately the calm before the storm. You can just kind of feel it's calm right now, but man, pretty soon this place is going to be electric. Maybe the loudest we've ever heard it when Eric Berry is introduced. Fans are going to be crazy. And it really, like tonight and what's going on this season, couldn't happen to a better fan base, couldn't happen to better people, couldn't happen to a fan base that deserves it more than right here in Kansas City. And talking with Carl Peterson a little bit about it last night, you know, a guy that ran the organization for 20 years, he's so excited for everybody here in Kansas City and watching this kid play. quarterback. I mean, it's just a remarkable, remarkable, remarkable deal to see Patrick Mahomes go out there every single night. And last night at the Priest Holmes roast, one of the auction items that they had, which I thought was great, was a plaque of Mahomes throwing the ball left-handed. Guess what got the most money last night? The opening bid was $200. I think it went for well over $600 last night. And so, like, people were bidding on that in the silent auction. Everybody wants a little piece of Patrick Mahomes memorabilia. But to have the left-handed pass on a plaque in a great picture was really, really cool. But, man, it was great to just kind of look out there last night and see the stadium and realize what's going to happen out there. And now we're talking 12 hours from right now when we kick this thing off. I'm really, really excited about it. And I feel like a kid again watching this team play football, because the innocence that I have towards them right now, the belief, the hope, and everything that goes into what sports should be about, the Chiefs are giving us this year. And they haven't done that in my lifetime, in your lifetime, in many of our lifetimes. They've never given us that kind of innocence and hope that they're giving us right now. This is truly different than it's ever been before, and I'm so excited for tonight's game.
And yeah, tonight's game is massive. You have a chance to win the division. It's a Thursday night marquee game.
Right.
Bright lights. Everybody's been talking about the Chargers. They're going to get their shot at the champ.
Right.
And you beat them, and the division's over. You got a home playoff game wrapped up. You got another check mark in the box of your goals. And then you're still obviously in the driver's seat for the top overall seat in the AFC.
Yeah.
Throw in the Eric Berry return. Throw right. in the Tony Gonzalez going in the Ring of Honor.
I mean, those two things
the
right
whole
there.
Thing.
God. I mean, when you think about what's going to go on tonight and who's going to be there tonight too, Josh, because I saw a lot of the alumni last night that were at the Priest Holmes roast, and a lot of people, Tony Gonzalez obviously coming into town. The only person who's not going to be able to make it is Dick Vermeulen, because he blew his Achilles because he's 81 years old and needs to be hunting. You know, so he fell into a hole hunting with his kids, and so he blew his Achilles, and he can't be here for the event tonight. But, like, everybody has been welcomed back for this event. This is a homecoming. This is a who's who. This is a big night out at Arrowhead Stadium. But for me, it goes back to the fans. And I'm not excited for, like, Mark Donovan. I don't really care about guys in the front office. I'm excited for this game for fans and for guys and gals and people who have been fans of this organization for so long, that have waited so long for this organization to truly give them hope and belief that this is our year. And here we sit right now. And tonight, I know it's not the last home game, but it feels like this is the moment where we all finally realize we got it going on here in Kansas City. And I think a night like tonight is when a lot of the long-suffering diehards that have been out there for 50 years and 100 years waiting for this team to do something special, this is when it all, I feel like, comes to a head tonight. And we see Tony Gonzalez. We see Carl Peterson. We see all the alums. We see the newness of the Chiefs, and we see the stadium the way it is. We get Eric Berry coming back. Like, you couldn't culminate more awesome events taking place tonight than we have going for us, and the opportunity to win the division as well. Like, this is the perfect night to be a Chiefs fan.
First matchup, of course, came in game one out in L.A. Patrick Mahomes throwing for 4 touchdown passes, and that one we've obviously chronicled his entire season and the remarkable stats he has put up. Don't sleep on Phillip Rivers. Remember, he threw for 424 yards in that first meeting. 3 touchdowns, did have a costly interception. Chargers put up 541 yards on the Chiefs in that opening game as well. James Jones and Elliot Harrison on the NFL Network, which quarterback has the edge tonight?
For this game, you hear? For this game, I am taking, like Dan likes to say, filthy Phillip Rivers against this Kansas City defense. He's going to play lights out, and he's going to go out there and outperform Patrick Mahomes. I know he's in the MVP conversation, and he might win it, but I'm taking filthy.
JJ, I love Phillip Rivers. Mm-hmm. I think Phillip Rivers is a Hall of Fame player. Mm-hmm. I do. No argument, man. But at Arrowhead, last 4 games, take a look at this video, mm-hmm. because it'll tell you all you need to know. How about 4 L's and 50 points from the offense? Mm-hmm. In 4 games, yeah. 50 points total. Mm-hmm. Okay, I think at home, with the crowd noise a factor hampering Phillip Rivers in that offense, you got to go Patrick Mahomes, who, as you said, MVP candidate.
The good thing is I have amnesia. I don't remember nothing in the past, so I'm just going off of what I know, and I'm taking filthy right here in this game. And listen, not only is filthy going to outperform him, these Chargers are going to win this ball game.
Man, the only thing James filthy is going to be Rivers' pants after he dumps in them after seeing the pregame festivities.
Jones of the NFL Network taking Philip Rivers and the Chargers. Elliot Harrison, the voice of reason, taking Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, what is that all about, taking Phyllis Rivers, who can't win at Arrowhead if you paid him to? Oh, wait, they do pay him to try to win at Arrowhead, and he still doesn't do it. So, yeah, you're going to take Filthy, as he's calling him. Yeah, Filthy's going to be the back of that jersey after Justin Houston eats him for lunch. That's the only thing filthy about that. That guy ain't doing nothing out here tonight. He's mentally weak, especially when he sees the red and he sees 50 on one side and 55 on the other. 95 coming up the middle and 29 in the back. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're filthy, all right. Filthy dirty. Filthy in your pants because you pooped. Because you're scared.
Filthy like a fox.
Unbelievable. Filthy Rivers, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's nasty, you know.
Have you ever seen an athlete more mentally beat down by a team than Rivers is with the Chiefs? I mean, Frank Martin with the Wildcats was always pretty beat down when he rolled into Allen.
Frank Martin and Allen Fielder.
Yeah, that was
pretty close.
That's a good one.
That's actually probably worse because, yeah, that one.
Because Martin just knew we're not winning.
That one, you saw it on their face.
Oh, I mean, the vast majority of my sports experience is us just being beat down by other people.
Well, who have you ever looked at where you're like, you never stood at, like, maybe Elway?
John Elway.
Yeah, Elway's
probably
that
Bumgarner.
Guy. But Bumgarner
that was a short window.
And quit it type of thing with Bumgarner. That wasn't like for years where Bumgarner just owned us
all the time. Going to Foxborough.
No,
those types of things feel like.
But we've
like
won in Foxborough.
We have now, yes. Yeah. Those you know, meaningful type games. You know, you feel like you couldn't overcome the Foxborough and the Hines.
Right.
You've done some of those things now in the regular season.
Yeah.
You can validate it with the postseason at some point in time. Not this year because they're all going to have to come here. But.
Right.
Yeah, there's been those times, but you're right. I mean, it feels kind of like, Frank Martin against KU is a pretty good one in Allen Fieldhouse.
Like when Phyllis gets inducted into the Hall of Fame, during his speech, he will say, I had a great career, except, man, I couldn't beat the Chiefs. They got into my dome. They were renting space. They were living up there. And I told you guys.
12-13 in his career.
He's 12-13 against the Chiefs. Like, Philip Rivers is good, but he's not against us.
Vermeil going to Denver.
Vermeil going to Denver was another way. Yeah, he was always like, Denver.
Andy going anywhere in the AFC West.
Yeah.
No chance.
No, Andy dominates the AFC West.
That's what I'm saying.
No, we're talking about teams who are already beaten.
AFC West team.
Yeah, every other AFC West team seeing the Chiefs now.
Strike that in reverse.
Yes. Right. But, I mean, like right now, you just look at this team, if you're Philip Rivers, and you go, I just can't beat them. And you know it weighs on him mentally, and you know it's a big mental thing for him right now. And it's hard to get by those mental blocks. Good luck, Phyllis.
So, James Jones, not a Kansas City favorite today.
I don't even know who NFL, James Jones is.
NFL Network. The Chiefs.
Edrin, his brother, was a better player.
Chiefs story we all forgot. That's coming up next.
Fesco in the morning.
How does best prices in Kansas City, best selection in Kansas City, best warranties in Kansas City, and now 3 years zero interest financing sound? Well, that's what you get at Diamonds Direct. Check them out. 119th and Row. And one incredible store that's a true game changer. They are kicking it up a notch as well with this amazing offer for the holidays. 3 years, zero interest financing on any purchase. Nothing down, anything and everything at Diamonds Direct. 3 years, zero interest. They're going to win your business. Just go into the store. They will take you through the entire process of picking out that perfect diamond for you. And I say for you. They're not going to upsell you. Find your budget. Head on in. They will bring you every stone imaginable in that budget. And they will find the perfect diamond for you. They don't have it in the store. They will go get it as well. So check them out. Diamonds Direct. Whether you're looking for a fabulous diamond bracelet or a pair of earrings, get the guaranteed best price. And now you can spread your payments over 3 years without a dime in interest. Check them out. 119th and Row. Expanded hours, including open all Sundays in December. It's Diamonds Direct.
There are times in life when certain situations are unavoidable.
Yeah, that's it. Is this called Man of Bats?
I'm going to let you know the name of this is Bat S.
No, it's not. Bats.
No, Bat Stuff.
Bat Stuff. That's the Bat Stuff. Batman.
What, Sean Connery on that one?
Time for the Chiefs story we all forgot. Yes, we were mesmerized at times by that Mahomes character. There are some other things involving the Chiefs. It is time we get to our Chiefs story we all forgot this week. Bob, would you like to go first?
Oh, all right. I'll go first on this one then. The Chiefs story that we've forgotten all year long, and I wish we knew about this really before the season because we could have done different things, I think, anyway. Chris Conley, man. Have you looked at his numbers?
I have not.
Have you looked at his numbers, Ryan, what he's done this year?
I mean, for the sake of continuing this, no, I've not.
Okay. Well, he has 27 catches on the season, right? That doesn't seem like a whole heck of a lot. Right?
What is your real answer, though, Ryan?
Yes, I have.
You have looked at Chris Conley's numbers? No. Have you really? Because, I mean, he's kind of the unsung hero, I think, of this offense
I wrote a blog in the preseason, three Chiefs that could be surprise contributors. Chris Conley was on that list.
Chris Conley on that list,
he
right?
He is.
Do you realize
Spencer Ware was on that list too?
Do you realize that almost 20% of his catches this year have resulted in touchdowns for the Kansas City Chiefs? He's got 5 touchdowns for the Chiefs. You may think, well, that's not a whole heck of a lot. Sammy Watkins has 3. And I know I'm not a look back and criticize a move type of deal like for Sammy Watkins. And you know, everybody complained that they overpaid, but I think he served a purpose on this offense and opening things up for everybody else. But maybe Chris Conley has kind of emerged into that role, and if there's maybe a way to get out of the Sammy Watkins contract after this year, maybe Chris Conley can be that guy. I've always liked him as a wide receiver, and I like him even more this year. He seems to, and maybe this is just perception for me, but he seems to be the guy that's like always the last guy to get open when Mahomes needs him, and he's always there for Mahomes. Like, he's the old reliable one. Like, he can go through his progressions and, oh, there's Conley, boom, touchdown. Like, I just feel like Chris Conley is a big time producer for this team in just kind of a different way, and I don't think he gets talked about enough. And I think if you're looking to clear out some salary cap room, or maybe if it's a contract you can get out of, maybe Sammy Watkins isn't as valuable to you next year because of the emergence of Chris Conley in this offense. I think him and the quarterback have a nice little rapport going on right now.
He's not just a good perimeter edge blocker, which
right.
I was fearful he might be at some point in time. Like,
well, I mean, that was Dwayne Bowe's job.
You didn't want to have to hear about that. Like, no, I want to see production and catches,
right.
Touchdowns and stuff, and he's bringing it out.
Yeah, he is.
You mentioned five touchdowns on 27 catches.
Yeah, he's making his catches count, man. I like it. I like what he's doing.
My Chiefs story we've all forgot, game one against the Chargers. I know I've spent a lot of time on this show poo-pooing the Chargers. Who have they beaten?
Well, they beat Pittsburgh.
Who have they won against? They had lost to every team they should have, but that was above them in the standings. They'd beaten all the teams below them. They were just doing what they needed to do to get it done. Then they do beat the Steelers on the road. The Steelers cough up a lead. The storyline still became kind of, well, look at the Steelers. They're a mess. Okay. Time to give LA Chargers some credit. We're
Why
still gonna
is
do
this
that.
The only team? Like every other team in the history of sports, everybody just adapts the new name this one.
Everybody messes it up.
It should be an omen that they made the wrong move.
Yes,
the best part is he messed it up in a sentence that was about to give them respect.
Yes, I know. Well,
let me give the San Diego Chargers respect here. Who?
San Diego Chargers. The first matchup was a Chiefs 10-point win. Okay. It required a 91-yard punt return for a score. The Chargers had 2 turnovers. They missed a field goal. They also had 33 first downs and 541 yards. And the Chiefs also needed an Anthony Sherman gimmick to win. Okay, they did some things, those things you necessarily can't count on each and every game. A punt return for a score and an Anthony Sherman touchdown for a score. And the Chargers did not have Bosa. This is going to be a dogfight, folks. Chiefs and Chargers is going to be a ball game tonight. I don't think it's going to be in any way, shape, or form a walk in the park. Chiefs are going to earn their 3rd straight AFC West championship and earn that first round bye. But don't forget, the Chargers gave them every bit of it in the first matchup of the season. And I think they will again tonight.
Can I just weigh in and play devil's advocate here?
Sure, why not? Your name's on the show. Go for it.
Did we go into that game, and I say we, I'm talking Andy, I'm talking everybody, realizing what we had in Mahomes? Because do they do that gimmicky stuff if they realize that Mahomes is
I don't mind gimmicky stuff at all.
And not that special teams touchdown is a gimmicky thing. You can't schedule those. But like Richard Sherman Anthony Sherman catching a touchdown pass.
Yeah, running a pattern for Anthony Sherman. Do I think they really? No, I think it was scheming.
Yeah. I'm interested to see what happens tonight with now we know who Mahomes is, you know. I don't think we're going to see. Maybe we do. I don't know.
I don't know. Care. I still like that. I still love the way they've drawn up this offense this year in that regard.
Yeah.
You can call it gimmicky. Just using all of your available tools is
It was, Josh, I think one of my favorite throws of Mahomes this year, though. I mean, I love just the fullback wheel route type of thing.
Of course.
Like, they're just neat. They're cool to watch. I don't know. Right? They're cool.
I'm saying those are two kind of wacky plays.
Fullback wheel routes. Love them. Who doesn't? My chief story that we forgot this week, Patrick Mahomes, season highs this last game in completions. He had 35. He also had a season high in attempts, 53. I know this is a very small sample size, but in the game where he attempted the most passes, completed the most passes, he also posted his third lowest QBR this season. Now, sure, he only had two touchdowns. I love how we say only two touchdowns.
Yeah.
But he didn't have a pick. He was sacked three times. All of those things go into account. But I just think that when we look at the way that the team is going to be going forward, and we look at the absence of Kareem Hunt and how you're now dealing with Spencer Ware having an injury that may keep him out and sidelined for, you know, at least this week, if not another week. Like, as we go forward and Mahomes becomes the true focal point of the offense, and not to say that he hasn't been all season long, but he's had key players around him that have been able to pick him up and guys that they had to focus on. Now Mahomes is the guy. He's the guy that they're focusing on. And again, not to say that it hasn't been that way all season, but you had to game plan for a Kareem Hunt. I don't think you're game planning for Spencer Ware or Damian Williams or any of the other Williamses that we're going to have on the team anywhere near like you did for Kareem Hunt. We heard Anthony Lynn of the Chargers say he's the guy you have to stop. The team runs through him. Now the team runs solely through Patrick Mahomes. And when we saw him have, again, season highs, and I guess it would be a career high, in attempts and a career or season high in completions, he also posted his third lowest QBR. So how is it going to look as the pressure gets ratcheted up for Patrick Mahomes? And I think it's really going to be important going into the playoffs because, let's face it, that's what teams are going to be keying on. We're not going to let Patrick Mahomes beat us. We're going to let these other guys try to beat us.
How much do you put on his plate? It's still a very valid question.
Yeah, and I don't want that to come off doom and gloom by any means, but I guess looking at the tea leaves and trying to look at it and say, well, you know what? This was the first game that we really said, hey, go make everyone around you better. And he did for the most part.
And in the first matchup with the Chargers, he only had 15 completions.
That was actually, I believe, his lowest QBR.
Like,
yeah,
we thought he had a great game and 15 completions. Four of those went for touchdowns. So you're like, oh, okay.
Oh, no, I take that back. His QBR was 127.5.
But then a 35 for 53 performance the other day. Did what he had to do to get a win over the Ravens, but I'm with you. You're putting more and more on his plate. You're going to have to. The way this offense is now, with a little bit of a change in the running game and maybe playing your third running back tonight, you're still going to have a lot on Patrick Mahomes' shoulders this evening for this matchup against the Chargers.
I hear what you're saying, like, let's make Mahomes beat us. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
No, it is.
I think to myself,
it is a wonderful world. You're making make the quarterback who's really good beat us.
Yeah,
wonderful.
Like, but
you say that about Tom Brady ever? No,
because
you know you don't want him to beat you. So go ahead and say that if you want about Mahomes for now. But
that's
make
the,
you pay.
Like that's the scary part for me though, because with Hunt out, Watkins out, Hill banged up, a lot less people to worry about.
Yeah, I get that.
I don't want to talk about it. Can we move on to something else?
Sorry, I didn't mean to throw a wet blanket on
it. No, I don't think it is either. It's just, those are looking
good. I didn't want to Adam Teicher everybody this morning.
Right,
but
I got you.
8-1-6, at the same time in the playoffs, you're still going to have to game plan for Kelce Hill, Watkins, Mahomes. Sure, that's, someone asked me who crapped in my corn. I didn't have breakfast this morning. It might be why I'm a little
I had egg whites and a little guacamole.
Somebody's got to get Kelce Hill, Watkins the ball. That guy's Patrick Mahomes. Like,
the Ravens put out a blueprint.
I don't want to say the Ravens put out a blueprint.
Please don't, because they didn't win.
But you saw what the Ravens did schematically to put some pressure on Patrick Mahomes. You saw that he was confused by some of the fronts that they were showing him. And, look, he definitely learned from that game. It was a learning process. Andy Reid called it his best game.
I feel
because
like
of the learning process.
I feel like Mahomes is like that outlier kid. You know, don't touch the stove. It's hot. And like Mahomes, like, okay, I'm not going to touch the stove. Every other kid, touching the stove because it's hot. Like, I think because he's never seen those before, it frustrated him a little bit maybe, but I don't think that's ever going to happen again. He's not going to make the same mistake twice. At 23 years old, that's pretty remarkable.
I was going to say, he's still threw for 377. That's
beside
the point, but still, yes, you're right.
Those are the Chiefs stories we all forgot. Well, a hype video that actually worked, and someone wants a piece of us again down the road? We'll explain next. Former Chiefs defensive back Mark McMillan, Mighty Mouse, he'll join us in studio coming up at 8 o'clock. He'll join us for the 8:30 as we talk Chiefs and Chargers. But I'll tell you what, the Chiefs to me, thumbs up. Yesterday, putting out the hype video, and I'm not a big hype video person. Like
certain ones you are, though.
Certain
right?
ones you are. Sometimes they work. Sometimes they're needed. That one felt really needed yesterday. Chiefs put out the kind of pregame hype video. It's got Eric Berry in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a bunch of Chiefs highlights in the middle. And it's got Eric Berry in the end coming out through the tunnel.
Right. Combined with their tweet of a picture of Eric Berry standing there, this game is going to be lit or something like that.
Basically just telling everybody, Eric Berry's back tonight.
Well, if he's not back tonight, that is a bad deal by the Chiefs. Absolutely. Like that is not a good
he
look.
He is listed right? officially as questionable on the injury report. But for the first time, all signs are pointing to him actually getting on the field tonight.
Yeah, he'll be out there tonight. He will definitely be. They'll introduce the defense tonight. They will introduce Eric Berry. The place will absolutely lose its mind. Tony Gonzalez will be like, man, I thought they were going to cheer for me. They're really cheering for this guy tonight. Like tonight's just got the makings of a movie. You know, like moments like this, I keep telling you guys, it is a special season, and we're seeing that tonight. Eric Berry's going to take the field. Fire's going to come up. The fans are going to scream. It's Tony Gonzalez going into the Ring of Honor night. You got 9 straight over them. You get to do this. You get that, the other. Like, this is the perfect movie script
all
to kind of put a bow on the regular
all
season.
Is win the game.
Well, yeah, you got to go out there and still play the football game. Yeah, but with everything that's going around, I mean, like, everybody who's going to be in attendance tonight and seeing Tony G's name, and I saw it last night at the stadium covered up with the red towel and everything. We know where it's going to be.
Did you peek underneath it? Make
I
sure
couldn't get up to that. Like, I wasn't going to hang over the side of the stadium and do that. I may have fallen if I did something like that, and I'm sure there's some that wish I would do that, but I'm not going to do anything like that. But I think ultimately, tonight is it's going to give you the warm, cozy feels of what it should be to be a sports fan. Like, you see other teams do things like what we're going to see tonight, and that's the way it should be always for us here in Kansas City. And I'm just so happy for the fans to get to experience this tonight and get to be part of this tonight and get to see this team bring the joy and the hope to everybody in Kansas City, and then to couple that with Eric Berry returning and Tony Gonzalez here and Carl in the house and all the former players that are going to be around tonight. Tonight's what memories are made for. Tonight's one of those moments you'll talk about for years if you're at the game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking forward to seeing him. Like, he needs to lead the huddle, and then he needs to run out of the tunnel.
Yeah.
And then give me a series.
Right.
I don't need anything impactful from him on the field. It'd be great if it happened. Great if it happened, but I'm not expecting it. I don't need it. Mm-hmm. I think the build-up portion, Eric Berry's job will have been done.
Yeah.
Fire up his team. Fire up the crowd. Give me a series, and I'm good.
And I'll go sit over here.
Yeah.
I'll watch
and
the
I'm
rest
good.
Of
like,
this
oh,
one.
Got back out there. Oh, that felt good. And then you can build up from, to me, you can build up from there. You're envisioning, though, like an impact play.
I am. I'm thinking something's going to happen. Like, he's too special a player, Josh. I mean, if it was anybody else that was battling back from something like this, I would think to myself, all right, where are we going with this? But Eric Berry, to me, is on a different level. It's because he's an all-pro. He's beaten cancer. He's a guy that just always comes back and has an impact. Like for lack of a better term, Eric Berry's never let us down. Has he? Have you ever been let down by Eric Berry? The answer is no. And that's why I think tonight's going to be the exact same type of thing. He's not going to let us down tonight. There is going to be some sort of memorable play, whether it's early in the game or late in the game. And I think he's going to have whether it's a sack or a blitz or an interception or a big tackle of a running back at the line of scrimmage. He's going to have, to me, and that's the way I'm envisioning it. You know, I'm kind of childlike
this team
right now.
This whole thing is a movie.
Yeah,
it's like a Disney
film. For me, it has been this year. I'm sorry that I feel that way, and I enjoy what's going on, and I see how many people are happy because of this, and I'm caught up in it, and I don't care if it ends like people, it's going to... No, I don't live that way. I live in what's going on right now, and Eric Berry has never let us down as Chiefs fans, and I think tonight he's going to continue that tradition of just doing something where you go, wow, that was so freaking cool to see Eric Berry do that. I think he's going to have an impact play tonight.
I mean, I'm not being the
wet. What are you doing if he does a pick six?
I'm not going to be the wet blanket, but what has he done to let us down? Well, signed a big contract and hasn't played for 29 games.
Not his fault.
Other than that, he's delivered. I just don't expect him to. I don't need him to deliver one of those plays tonight. I think to me, everything he can give you tonight is early on. And it's the buildup, and if he's able to play a few plays or a few series or what have you, that's great. And then we've got a few weeks to ramp that up too, to see if he can be a impact contributor come the playoffs.
Right. Yeah. Sure. No.
So
give me
a little taste of it tonight, and give me all the hype stuff. Give me what I saw in that video yesterday, in an on-field form with your team and that crowd.
Right.
And your job will have been done.
I don't know what all the confusion is about. Bob Sutton cleared this up just the other day. He was asked about it. Will he be on a pitch count?
Yeah, we'll keep him. And, you know, Rick's going to keep it. If he plays all the time, and, you know, how much, I don't know what he's going to do yet. And just wait and see. But, yeah, it'd be all of us. And certainly his input is valuable. But, you know, a lot of times, you know, guys that have missed a lot of time, they don't want to come back out, you know. They've been waiting all this time to get in. But you got to be smart, and he's got to be smart with it, which I think he would be. And, you know, we'll just have to see how it goes, you know.
Yeah, you're right. That cleared it up.
Cleared everything up.
You know what cleared it up? The video that she's put out yesterday.
That's
what cleared it up.
Right. That's exactly what cleared
all
it up.
All that
100%.
Other stuff,
yeah.
Not so much.
Right. I mean, that's exactly what cleared it up yesterday, was seeing the video, seeing the tweet, and going, he's playing tonight. And I think when the Chiefs, you know, do what I expect them to do, and it's playing Atlanta this year, there will be some big-time Eric Berry moments. And you say letting us down by signing a big contract and not playing. Maybe I should rephrase what I'm going at here. Not letting us down when he's playing. When he's actually out there on the field and playing.
You wanted an example. I gave you an example.
Yeah, I can't.
I haven't seen him out there for 2 years.
I understand.
I need to see more of him. To be impactful. So I want him to be on the road to do that. If it takes, you know, getting a few snaps in tonight, that's great and fine. I'm not expecting much of an on-field product for Eric Berry, and would be willing to see it happen.
Right. Yeah.
More than willing to see it happen, but not going in expecting it.
Yeah. I am, though. This is the way movies are made, man. You know how I feel about this league and how certain things happen for a reason. I think something's going to happen tonight, and we're going to be sitting here tomorrow morning going, oh, my God, Eric Berry picked six against Phyllis.
I hope you are correct.
Mark the tape.
Former Chiefs defensive back, Mighty Mouse, Mark McMillan. He'll join us in studio next.
Fesco in the morning.